House and Senate Environmental, Natural Resource, Energy, Commerce Committee, Conference Committee to order at 6:13. Welcome, members. Welcome, folks. We're going to be out of here. Well, here I go. I shouldn't do that, should I? Should I tell you when we're going to be out of here? We're going to be out of here when we're done.
There's more people that want to be walking out.
As soon as we can get the House Chair to come back to his position here, we'll start. But actually, we're not going to wait that long. We're going to start right in. We're going to do a walkthrough of the spreadsheet. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, there should be a spreadsheet out. It's titled Senate File 1029, House File 1010, Omnibus Environment Energy Budget Bill Conference Committee Agreement. The first page is the general fund summary. We're just showing the conference totals here, and then you can see conference compared to the Senate and the House. Our overall target is a minus $92 million from the base, which is below both the House and the Senate had coming in. The difference between the Senate bill originally is minus $21.1 million, and difference from the House is about $26.6 million. I'm not going to spend too much time on the summary pages at the beginning, but just showing you that what the target is for this conference committee.
Members, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the whole sheet here, the whole document, before we open it up for any discussion. So go ahead, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, we'll start on the page one, which is PCA. The general fund, you can look at what the proposal is compared to the House and Senate. That's sort of the middle columns there. If you see a negative, that's the bigger reductions than what the House or the Senate had. First area, lines 15 through 25, those are general fund reductions. This proposal has basically taken the greater of the House and the Senate reductions on each side, so we get a minus $11.3 million general fund reduction. On the environmental fund, this the changes you'll see here is line 32, the water rules study. The Senate originally had $250 in on this. This is down to $75 million, one-time environmental fund. And money for the NPDES feedlot permitting, the Senate had $400 for 2 years in the original proposal, and this is $400 one time. Other than that, the other items were in both bills. Remediation fund, again, that was in both bills, in the governor's bill. And the other fund changes are just some small items that were in both sides and the governor's. You see the total reduction with PCA, general fund reduction, again, is 11.3. Agency total reduction, $1.48 million reduction. Most of that is because there's a lot of new petrol fund money coming into the agency. Revenue changes for PCA on page 2. They have the Senate proposal of moving half the fees from the environmental fund over to the general fund. That brings $1.5 million into the general fund out of the environmental fund ongoing. Then we're capping the transfer between the, on line 64 and 65, the Senate was proposing to cap the transfer between the environmental fund and the remediation fund to keep it in the black based on the changes made in this bill. Otherwise, the other fee items, including the ethanol facility changes from Senator Rosen's bill, would be the other Senate item. Otherwise, the other fee changes were in both the House and the Senate. On to DNR, and you'll see some reductions here that were greater than both the House and the Senate had going in. First one, lands and minerals management, a $500,000 per year reduction. It's a little bit higher than both the House and the Senate. Eco-management reduction on line 86, $1.5 million per year. It's a little bit more than the House had going in, 1.8 more than the Senate. Next one I'll highlight is the general fund reduction for water management, minus $3 million per year. That's about the level that the House had, 2.8 higher than, more than the Senate. The other items were either in the House or Senate bill. The next big one I'll point out is forest management reduction. The $4 million per year is a little bit of actually above from what the House had in the bill originally, 2.3 more than the Senate. Parks and Trails management reduction on line 100 is a bigger reduction than what either the House or the Senate had going in. That's about a 20% reduction, Parks and Trails management, general fund reduction. The next, and other than that, the other reductions were either in one side or the other or both. So it's a $39 million general fund reduction to the DNR, but again, some of that is a transfer, moving money from the general fund to natural resources fund from the water fees. $10 million of that is a transfer, so the real reduction is about $29 million. Page 3 are changes to the Natural Resources Fund. There's a new thing on line 112 and 113, and we'll have an amendment for this. It's changing the mining administration account from a direct appropriation to a statutory appropriation. The Senate had adjusted this account going in, but and the DNR had actually requested moving this one to a statutory, so we wouldn't have to constantly adjust for this one in the future. So there will be an amendment later that adopts some language for that. The Senate had, on line 117, actually had some money. We're doing $600,000 per year increase for an invasive species account. That was a little bit lower than what the Senate had going in. And this is tied to a transfer of money from the water rec account to the invasives account. House position of taking ATV funding out of eco services, a House position. The House position of maintaining lake levels monitoring out of the water rec account. That was the governor's proposal. Zero for forest roads. The amendment that we adopted the other night on nurseries, we will not be needing the money that the Senate was carrying on line 121. Both the House and the Senate were proposing increasing money for forestry from the FMIA. It's in this. Park account increase, that's a Senate level on line 130. The next lines, the various increases out of the park and trails dedicated accounts. We pretty much went with the higher of the two levels. Mostly of these were House positions, including the off-highway vehicle trail pass for non-residents. That was actually Senate position, but the other ones were all House positions, basically going with the higher amount. And then the enforcement increases that were in the Senate bill out of the trail accounts, all of them except for the increase out of the FMIA. So that's it for Natural Resources Fund. Game and Fish Fund on page 4, doing $1 million per year out of the Heritage Enhancement Account for invasive species. This is for water access sites. Forest Native Plant Mapping, that was the Senate position, less than the House. Zero for Let's Go Fishing. The Lamprey Pass was in both bills. We adopted the other night changing the dedicated stamp accounts from direct to statutory. That was a House position. Conservation officer money out of the, or academy money out of the heritage account. This is a little bit more than what the Senate had going in. We basically moved, added $200,000 to what the Senate had coming in for this. And then the peace officer training account, the last one there was in both bills. So DNR agency total, the net reduction for the agency is a minus 2.3% or $15 million reduction, a little over 15. 39 again was general fund reduction. The revenue changes, most of these are just transfers between funds. So you'll see the ending the state nurseries. There's $1 million of one-time general fund dollars that was tied to the amendment we adopted the other night. The rest of them are all sort of just fund moving monies between funds, except for the off-highway vehicle non-resident trail pass, again, the line 197. Otherwise, the rest of it is just all transfers. Metro Parks is next. General fund reduction of $700,000 per year. It's about a 19.6% reduction. And then we're increasing money from the dedicated lottery and lieu account by $300 per year. So their net reduction is 4.5%. General fund reduction is 19.6. Conservation Corps, going with sort of a closer to what the House had coming in. It's a gradual phase out of their general fund funding. You'll see there in the tails, their general fund funding is zeroed out, but gives them a little bit in the current biennium. So it's closer to what the House had coming in. Next, we have Bowser. Here, there's a overall general fund decrease of $7.3 million. There's a couple small grant programs that we've actually zeroed out because they're getting down to a level that was getting pretty small. The cost-shared vegetation buffers reduction is actually a zero out of that program, line 249. The feedlot grants is just a reduction. It's not an elimination. The two big items, the natural resources block grants and the SWCD services grants, line 251 and 252, are about a 14-15% reduction to those grant programs. The weed management is an elimination. Down on lines 256 through 258, I know it says eliminate there, but actually those funding reductions are 50% reductions. The governor had originally proposed eliminating all general fund funding for those boards. What this proposal is basically cutting those general fund dollars by 50%. And then the Bowser admin reduction is $1.7 million. It's $600 more than what the Senate or House had going in. So again, $7.3 million reduction. Overall general fund reduction, that's about 26% to Bowser. Minnesota Zoo is on page 6. You'll see their general fund reduction, $1.6 million. That's a 12.8% reduction. And that is it for the cost items on Article 1. You'll see a summary down on the bottom of page 6 showing the various overall general fund reductions to the different agencies and the percents, and also a summary of the revenues.
You got us testing for already?
Page 7 starts the changes for the Commerce and PUC. Most of these we've already adopted. There's only two real items of change from what we've adopted the other night, and those are revenue items. So I'm going to skip over most of this until page 11. We have added an additional $1.5 million of a transfer to the assigned risk plan over what was adopted the other night. So it's $10.5 million the second year, so a total of $24.5 million. And the other one is on line 213, the conservation improvement account. The House had proposed, originally we had a $300,000 transfer. Now it's a $1.3 million transfer. Other than that, everything else is the same as what we had adopted the other night in PUC and Commerce. The last area is LCCMR. Those pages are 12 through 16. You'll see the conference proposal. Many of these items have already been adopted, but you basically look at the columns on the far right and see the difference between the House and the Senate proposals. The one new item I'll point out here is doing 3 million for state park operations, and we split that 1.5 per year. The other one, our natural, let's see here. Yeah, the scientific and natural area acquisition is basically taking where the house had sort of divided that in half, then used some of the money for set asides. So we're going at a level of $820,000 per year for SNA acquisitions. And then the one new item you'll see is on the last page under emerging issues. On line, bottom of page 15, lines, it'd be 9F, is a proposal to move $1.645 million for reinvest in Minnesota conservation easements. And then another one I'll point out here is the level of funding for contract administration is $175,000. That's a little bit lower than what the House and Senate had coming in. And that's pretty much it. If I glossed over something, I apologize, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Members, any questions about the spreadsheet we just went over? We do have some testifiers here. We have some amendment we're going to do right now. Today. The A-17 amendment. Members, you have them in your packets.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-17 amendment.
Senator Dames, move the A-17 amendment to the amendment. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is to take the money that we had set on the House bill aside to deal with the long-term cost in the land purchases that were in the LCCMR bill. I'm wondering if Mr. Solem is in the audience. I don't know if he is or not, from the counties, townships, I'm sorry, or is Ms. Gerlich from the counties here, or both of you? If
welcome to the committee. Please state your name.
Mr. Chair, I'm Kent Solem, General Counsel with the Minnesota Association of Townships.
I'm Annalie Garlitz with the Association of Minnesota Counties.
Welcome. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Solem, you've been working real hard, and Ms. Gerlich, you've been working real hard to try and find a solution that potentially would be different than the one we had. The one the House had has got challenges in regards to constitutionality and statutorily. And you had talked about a different plan that we haven't been able to bring to fruition and get the Senate to go along with. Can you give the conference committee kind of an update of where we're at and where we could be potentially in the future, because I absolutely believe we have to do this long range.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, the continual acquisition of lands by the state, removing them from the tax local tax rolls, has been a growing concern at both the county and township level. So much of this land is located in the very rural areas with declining populations, declining income bases. And when the land is acquired and there's public use and public benefit of that land, but the local taxpayers are shouldering all the burdens for the roads, for the emergency services, everything else, as well as just general operations, that's land that they can't spread any general costs on, it gets to be a severe impact. And we're seeing more and more shifts for numerous reasons to property tax, and this is just one more area of great concern. So we've been trying to work with you and other members of the legislature trying to figure out if the state is going to acquire land, how do we address what the actual costs are, how do we make sure that the local units are held whole so we're not basically subsidizing state acquisitions. We're not trying to be a barrier to acquisitions. We're not trying to say, you know, that everything is bad. We're saying that there are costs associated, and we need to recognize those full costs. And so we've appreciated the efforts, Representative McNamara, that you've put forth this session trying to help us identify those expenses and ways of dealing with it long term, because it will get to the point. We have communities that are 60, 70, 80, 85% non-taxable lands right now. And it just stands to get worse as we continue to have more acquisitions with all these dedicated accounts.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, I guess counties would concur exactly with what Mr. Sulem from the township said. We do have ongoing concerns about what the tails are for these land acquisitions as they're purchased, and we've been looking for a way to how do we address the ongoing costs and how do we account for those costs up front. And so that's what Joe Matthews from the Association of Minnesota Counties, as well as myself and Mr. Sulem, have been trying to kind of flesh out as we've worked with different members of the legislature. Over the past, the discussion started about 2 years ago, actually, in the House, when we started to try to discuss how we might account for these costs on the front end. And so we've been working on this since then.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate both you, the work on it, and your organizations. Who do we need to get involved besides you as we work through this, because I really want to deal with this and develop a good plan that we could adopt going forward. I think it's going to be able to make us more realistically really compare the purchase of easements or the purchase of land or the restoration work and more fully recognize the costs that are involved in this work that's supposed to be to supplement the base budget and not supplant. And I'm just wondering, if we could have on the record who you think, I've not brought an amendment to the amendment or am not ready to fight this, because I have to be honest, it's not quite ready for prime time as much as I want to do it. But who else do we need to bring to the table to make sure we're working on this? If you could give us some ideas as we work through this.
Well, Mr. Chair, obviously we have been working with Mr. Becker with the Lessard Sam's group, trying to, you know, get his input. I have had personal contacts with colleagues that represent various outdoor groups, and most recently, Mr. Tuma has volunteered to kind of be a facilitator for us to that community. He has better connections to a larger array of some of the special interest groups, so obviously they need to be a key player. We're trying to work with the Department of Revenue to get some better number runs as to both what our proposal, which was an upfront, basically a kind of a host fee, if you will, for lack of a better term at this point, of recognizing here's the mutual benefit and the mutual costs that are there. So we've been working with Revenue. DNR, we've worked with Mr. Meyer, and Ms. Martinson has helped us, provided us some contact information. The Lessard Sam's Council. We're kind of doing a take two here. So
I was just kind of jotting down some different notes. And another group that had come up in a previous conversation was the LCCMR, in the event that they also purchased lands for this on behalf of the state. So that would be another group. And I think that others would probably step forward if there's other ones. I'm sure that we'll find other people who are interested.
Mr. Chair, if I may, we have been saying for some time that we are more than happy, if somebody has a concern or interest, you know, to talk to us. I mean, I will be honest, I don't know all the individual groups that are out there, but we've tried to get our word out as to here's what's there, and ask people to spread the word and ask them to, if they have concerns, to contact me or Ms. Garlitz or Mr. Matthews so we can provide more info. And so we're more than happy to make that commitment to do that. If we can do something yet this session, it'd be incredibly great. But realistically, if we're working on it over the interim, we would be very committed to being at that table and providing. I'd be happy to email the draft language that we've been working on. I know Mr. Tuma has shared it with a number of folks. We have shared it with a number of folks. Anybody who'd like that language, if I get their email, we'll send it out and keep the dialogue rolling.
Certainly, we'd like that. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to go along with this amendment at this time, not because I think it's necessarily, I will just say we can't deal with this issue yet. We're not ready, and I want to make sure we're doing it right because this is a big thing. If we can set this up right long term, it's going to address concerns that Representative Dill, Representative I, Representative Wagenius, and I'm sure folks on the Senate side have had to be more realistic in what we're doing with land purchases and being up front. And there's some concern about, is it the state, is it the county? That's not really my whole concern. I just want to more address the issues and try and be more responsible. So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to go along with this change, but I do want to see us in the future deal with it.
Thank you, Mr. Representative McNamara. And my take on it is that I've also been talking with Representative McNamara, and I'm very concerned about the same issue. I mean, I sit on the Lessard-Sams thing. We've been hearing that since its inception of land acquisition, so I agree it's not ready for prime time, but I think something has to be done. Mr. Solomon, you and I talked less than an hour ago in my office with regards to what you just proposed, and I would certainly appreciate you emailing those out to the members so we can start that dialogue. And there is a study group that's been put in the tax bill, and I think it's moving forward pretty well. So hopefully by January we'll have a little better idea from those that are involved. So,
Mr. Chair, if I get that to Mr. Carbo, can that get distributed to the membership that way? Or
yes.
That work? Okay.
Any further discussion on the Dames Amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Amendment carried. Members, at this time, is there any other discussion with regards to the spreadsheet? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the spreadsheet that was described to you by Mr. Mueller.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson so moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
No.
Carries. Next, we're going to go through the language differences here. I'm sorry. Oh, we're going to do some amendments. All right, we're going to do some amendments right now, and Mr. Knopf will describe the amendments, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Chair, the first one you don't have in front of you. It was an amendment that was adopted last time we met. It was an A13 amendment of Senator Rosen's, and I think she wants to move. I think it'd be a good time to move that now. I don't know if anybody still has their A13 amendment. What it would do is on 2.2 of the amendment, it would insert the words "or expansion of a biobutanol facility." Currently, the way the EAW language was written, it's for expansion of an ethanol plant or conversion to biobutanol. This would add in also expansion of a biobutanol facility, because there may be some expansion that goes along with the conversion. This provision is, but not that.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Knopf for explaining that. And actually, it's just the conversion of an ethanol plant to a biobutanol or expansion. So if you have, hopefully, a biobutanol plant that does come to Minnesota, then that is an emerging industry, an emerging market, and hopefully they can expand under, if we keep this language moving forward, they will continue long term and we'll have some conversions and some expansions in the industry.
Senator Rosen moves the A13 amendment. Before voting on that, we'd like
to the A13.
Amendment to the A13 before Voting on that, we'd like to hear from the department agency. Kudelka, Mr. Kudelka, welcome.
Well, Mr. Chair and committee members, sorry, I didn't quite hear the full question, but I think you're talking about the technical change on the EAW piece for the ethanol and biobutanol. And our understanding of the way it was read previously, it did not allow for an ethanol plant that was expanding and being converted to biobutanol. This would correct that and allow for that to still go on without a mandatory trigger under statute. Because of the expansion, it would still be susceptible to environmental reviews under the four other triggers, citizen petition, or other discretionary EAW method.
Thank you for that clarification. Members, any other questions? She renews her motion to the amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, the next amendment.
Chairman, I don't know if you have a specific order. If you want to look at the A15, it's the wild rice rulemaking and research amendment.
A15 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A15.
Representative McNamara moves the A15 amendment.
Mr. Chair, we need one technical amendment on the A15. On 1.4, before the commissioner, insert upon completion of the research referenced in paragraph D. Comma. That was something that was left out when the chamber brought this language forward to me. Apparently, they're still, I don't know if they're still working, so you may want to bring them forward to speak on it briefly.
Anybody from the chamber here that would like to speak to that?
And Mr. Chair, while they're coming up, I'll just say that this would replace the wild rice language that's in both bills. This would be a replacement.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Robertson, representing the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The basic change from the Senate position in this amendment, Mr. Chairman, is you see on line 1.35, the language, to the extent allowable under the Federal Clean Water Act. Over the last weeks, one of the issues with regard to this language has been whether it would be acceptable under the Clean Water Act, according to the EPA. And we've just gotten some information in the last few days from PCA's conversations with folks at Region 5 in Chicago. And some of this language may not be operative under the Clean Water Act, but we want to preserve the opportunity that it could be in the future if there's some other interpretation or some other change in the law. So in paragraph E, the words "to the extent allowable under the Federal Clean Water Act" are added, and similar language about beginning in paragraph F on lines 2.10 to 13 about trying to implement this language to the extent possible. The same occurs on line 2.33.
Mr. Kudelka, would you please come forward from the from the agency to make the comments with regards to that. Welcome back.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and committee members, the chamber and folks have shared this with our staff, I believe yesterday. We are still in the process of reviewing the pieces of it. As Mr. Robertson mentioned, this is a complex area of law with the Federal Clean Water Act and how this may interact with each other. So at this point, I'm going to just remind folks of the PCA's overall position on this is that anything that's passed by the legislature must make sure we don't threaten our ability to offer discharge permits under the NPDES program and also protect the wild rice and have a standards set in the future that is based on science and the knowledge and the study that's being funded by the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Robert.
At this point, I'll leave it at that.
And, Mr. Chairman, I think that's what the changes are intended to do is preserve program, as Mr. Kudelka stated, and is not a violation of the federal law.
Any further discussion? Any questions? Mm-hmm. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kudelka, can you speak to the, this removes both in the House language, there was a number put on it, in the Senate language, it was a basically a hold on stopping it. The removal of those things must be a huge step towards trying to get resolution on this issue.
Mr. Kudelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, you're correct. Those two items in the House and the Senate provisions bills were provisions that were of serious concern to us because it did jeopardize our authority with the EPA, and we are thankful that they are removed.
Any further discussion from the members? Hearing none, the A-15 has been offered by Representative McNamara. Is before us as amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The next one, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I think there's a couple of technical ones I'd like to make sure to do early on here. The GK012. It deals with the sale of state land. This is from that 2005 law, where it's been extended a number of times, and then there was the Senate had a bill on the floor the other day that would have actually cost a couple million dollars to restructure this and lower the amount. We were told we need to deal with this in conference committee, and so what this does is just it extends it out another 2 years, so basically transfers the $2 million claim or whatever that needs to happen from 2011 to either 2012 or 2013. And it's thought the Department of Natural Resources will be able to make this over that period. But this is as I understand it, needs to be in this bill.
Representative McNamara offers the GK12 amendment. To that amendment, Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this is it's still got some of the value left to sell. And truthfully, the biggest parcel or the most valuable parcel that probably will bring this money in is located right on the edge of Hastings, surrounded on three sides by the city of Hastings. I'm wondering if Deputy Commissioner Shad or Mr. Meyer or somebody could come forward and just chat about the progress on selling that 80 acres and if what the efforts are there. I know the market in Dakota County is very poor, but there's a recent article in the paper, I believe yesterday or maybe it was today, I think it was yesterday, about the beginning to turn around potentially of ag land.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Shad.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Dave Shad, Deputy Commissioner DNR. Representative McNamara is correct. We do hope to sell the Hastings WMA. It's 160 acres right on the outskirts of the city of Hastings. We've gotten through all the processes we needed as far as rezoning the property and that sort of thing. We did offer it for sale at our last land sale. Didn't get any bidders, but as was pointed out, this is a tough market to sell land in and especially tough market for real estate developers to speculate right now. So we're hopeful in the next 2 years that the market will improve and we can go ahead and get that land sold.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deputy Commissioner, though, you're only interested in selling the West 80, and the other 80 would become an SNA.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, you're correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions on the amendment? Representative McNamara moves the GK012 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carries.
Mr. Chairman, you have an SCS 1029A11 amendment, but it's a technical amendment requested by the Department of Natural Resources. which will extend an appropriation for their land records management system until June 30th, 2013. It's A11. SCS 1029 A11.
Department like to come up and talk.
It's a brief, it's a technical.
Technical amendment.
I so move.
Senator Rosen moves the SCS 1029 A11 amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Chairman. Representative Hackbart.
I think it's the House's turn. I move the 0487 amendment.
0487 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this is already in the bill. The money's already got a line item. We're just specifying a bit more technically how we want the money spent out of the ATV account.
Any questions? Representative Hackbarth moves the A110487 amendment. Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Gerlach has got it. It's a GK0013 amendment. Dealing with interest in lands extended.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, this is simply a bill that was already passed off of the Senate floor, and I understand in the House it went to the wrong committee or something like that. We just want to make sure that it gets in, it gets done, and it is about the reversionary interest of Dakota County in the zoo lands. If the zoo were to ever stop operating, this is just the renewal of it. If the zoo ever stops operating, that land would revert back to the county who originally gave that or deeded that land to the state for the purpose of the zoo. And this is just the, after 30 years, it's required renewal, and this removes the requirement to have them come in every few years for that renewal.
Members, any questions? To the GK0013, Senator Gerlach moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Same sign.
Mr. Chair,
no.
There's a GK014 amendment, Senator Dames, you want to speak of this? This is part of what he has in Senate File 1244.
Senator Dames moves the GK014 amendment. Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment deals with the landfills where the review shall be for the ultimate design and capacity of the landfill, and the responsible government unit shall review the proposed projects in conjunction with any existing facility impacts and shall not modify or change the projects without the approval of the proposer. Also, it includes the Environmental Quality Board must amend rules necessary to conform to this section. This was included in the Senate Bill 1244, and it did pass off the Senate floor, and I would like to see it included in policy in this bill.
Senator Dames, we'll ask somebody from the EQB board to come up if they're here, if they'd like to testify. You don't want to hang kind of close. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I didn't know I was so popular. I would like to just one moment, if possible, to correct something I stated on the A15 amendment dealing with the wild rice, if that's okay.
Certainly.
On the backside, I do notice on lines 2.33 through 2.35, there's still the suspension of these standard for sulfates for class 4 waters. While it does have a clause before saying to the extent allowable under the Federal Clean Water Act, that I just wanted to note that for the record that is still being put into the bill. Just to go back now to the GK014 amendment, I know that you had called for the EQB, but this is really a pollution control agency. The EQB just would be the one to formally put this back into Minnesota rules. As we just a quick paraphrase our previous testimony on this, we have a couple concerns with this. Number one is lines 1.9 through 1.11, where it puts, instead of the state, the proposer in the seat of defining what a project is, and also allows them a veto authority over modifying or changing the product without approval of the proposer. Having also had some discussions with some of our attorneys, this could also be read to allow or prevent us from putting stipulations in permits unless the proposer agreed to them. Again, putting the proposer of a project in the driver's seat versus the state on this regulatory action. And then again, just a caution on lines 1.7 through 1.8, the PCA's capabilities, unfortunately, are not there to do a full environmental review on the ultimate design capacity of a project for a lifetime. Our threshold of knowing what's going to happen really sits at about 20 years, and this creates a problem for us to be able to give a thorough review and say it's good for a lifetime.
Senator Dames, to that point.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill, I think, has been floating around for maybe 3-4 weeks, and I've been trying to get the MPCA to come to the table so that we can work out some common solution to keep peace in the valley. But I think you would allude to, that's not happened. And so I would like to see this bill go forward so that we can get all the players to the table and try to come up with something that will keep peace in the valley. And I think this is one of the ways we can do it.
Any further discussion? Mr. Kodelko, would you have some comments? Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you. Mr. Kodelko, is this, when we talked a couple nights ago, there was two pieces in a Fabian bill. Is this the piece that I agreed to take out?
Mr. Chair and committee members, that is correct. There is a second piece to this bill for Senator Dames and Representative Fabian that would change the length of the permit, which the PCA was okay with, which would be changing the length of the permit from 5 to 10 years. That's kept in House File 1097, and this was removed in the House Omnibus Policy Bill.
Representative McNamara.
Well, Mr. Chair, at this time, I'm not going to be able to support this. If I'm not mistaken, we've got Senate File 1115 planned to go to conference committee hopefully tomorrow, and I think it would be going back on my word to Mr. Kodelko to be adopting this provision right now as if I was trying to backdoor this in a bill. So I would not be able to support this provision at this time.
Okay, any further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, is there any other members of this committee that made that type of commitment? Thank you.
Members, I'm not. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Senator Dames renews his motion for the GK014 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
The amendment fails.
Mr. Chairman, you've got a couple of other fairly technical changes, I think. You've got the STS 1029A14. This just effectuates the spreadsheet. You've already changed the mining administrative account to a statutory appropriation in the spreadsheet, and they've already agreed to that in adopting the spreadsheet. So the A14 amendment is just a technical to put that in place.
Senator Peterson moves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move it was GK011.
No.
Which one?
Yes. SC
1029A14.
The SS. Excuse me. SCS 1029A14 amendment. Yeah. Senator Peterson, is that the whole amendment you'd like to move?
Yep. So moved.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, you have the SCS 1029A16 amendment, and this deals with the LCCMR. It allows them to carry forward some of their current appropriation into the next biennium, and apparently it will help through some of the reductions that have occurred for them.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the A16.
Representative McNamara moves the A16 amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, we've got the CBS 0002 amendment. Senator Gerlach, I think that's the amendment.
Yep. CBS.
Slow down a little bit.
CBS 0002. Senator Gerlach.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is, as you know, we have a number of fund transfers within the Department of Commerce that we have done. While several of them deal with the realtors and some of the fees and assessments they've paid in. And we've taken a lot of money, and this is one for the Real Estate Recovery and Research Fund. And current law says that the commissioner has the authority and power to blink on this fee. And since we're taking the money, we don't want that to happen. That would be exceptionally unfair to this this group. And so they have brought forth this request for some comfort language to be sure that they aren't turned around then and backdoor, you know, paying this increase. So this is just session law. We're not getting rid of that authority entirely, but at least for the next couple of years, we don't want the commissioner to blink that on.
Senator Gerlach moves the CBS 002 amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All same sign.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like the next two amendments coming are maybe a little more worthy of discussion. Could I make my oral amendment before we get into the...
Senator Rosen, to your oral amendment.
Thank you. It's the Community Energy Resource Team, the CERTS amendment that we talked about the other night, and it's $500,000 from the SIP R&D fund. Currently, they are funded out of the Renewable Development Fund. The SIP fund is a better place for them to be. The co-ops and munis have expressed interest for this to continue on this funding because they do some good work out there. It's a provision that was put in 2003 by Governor Pawlenty, and it's teams that go out and do energy efficiency. So we have a one-time appropriation of $500,000 out of the SIP R&D fund. And that is Section 6 on R40, an oral amendment of just accepting the Senate language. Is that appropriate at this time?
Yes, it is.
All right, so move.
So move. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Beard and I have discussed this issue, and the House should accept this.
Okay. Good thing to do. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Senator Rosen moves to adopt Section 16.
Section 6.
On page R40. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Oh, same sign. Senator Rosen, you said you had another one?
No. I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, there's a real technical kind of oral amendment I think we need to make. It's the easement monitoring. What this bill does, just like the Sergeant Sam's, some of the easement monitoring money that has been appropriated in previous years, it starts on page R95, and this is a very simple, it would be to accept the Senate language. The Senate has a little higher number in three of the years. It includes some easement requirements for Ducks Unlimited, along with the Minnesota Land Trust. And it'll be a number of places, but if you look on 91.26, it says $48,000 is for deposit. It would apparently there's some concern that it may not be the exact amount, and they don't want to have their hands tied to those exact amounts. It would never be more than that. So in each instance, in each of those clauses before the dollar sign, you would insert up to and then adopt the Senate language. So that would allow them some flexibility. This has been requested by the parties involved.
Members, any discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hackbarth.
They look almost identical to me. What's the difference between the House and the Senate language? Are they identical? You're just saying accept the Senate language or what?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, they are not identical.
What's the difference?
On page R96, line 92.34 in the Senate and 77.6 in the House. The House does not include the dollar amount for Ducks Unlimited. Also on 77.11, the House has $69,000, on 93.5, the Senate has $123,000, and on 77.16, the House has $66,000, and the Senate has $120,000. So, because the Senate added in the money for Ducks Unlimited along with this. That's the only difference, Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth.
Representative Hackbarth?
Oh, we're spending more money from... Explain it a little better. Where are we getting the money and where?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, the money has already been appropriated.
Okay.
This is just making sure that was actually authorized. There was some concern over whether or not they had the authority to set aside these easement monitoring and enforcement accounts. And what these provisions do, and again, you'll see the same in the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage money, the same type of provision. And what it does is it makes sure it's kind of going back and making sure that it was authorized for what they've been doing.
So Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Knopf, so I was confused like Representative Hackbart, because where you started talking, the language was similar. So we're going all the way from the whole subdivision 20 all the way down to where we get to preserving the Avon Hill landscape. It would be all those, every one of those numbers you referred to would have the up to words put in front of the dollar amounts, and then we would accept the Senate dollar amounts?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, that's true. That's what I was trying to say. I mean, we could do them individually, but I didn't think you'd want to waste the time to do that.
No, I'm okay now that I understand.
Okay. Any further questions? What kind of a motion do we have here? Do we adopt the sections?
Mr. Chair, I think this is a motion would be to adopt subdivision 20 on the Senate side with the phrase up to before each dollar sign in each clause.
So moved.
Senator Rosen, so moved. Any further questions? For any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign?
No.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I have only one left. Oh, I gave mine away. We have
Mr. Knopf.
The GK011 amendment.
Yes, Mr.
That's a water rulemaking.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Peterson moves the GK011.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this amendment really comes out of an idea relating to the rulemaking moratorium. We received a letter early on in this process from the PCA referencing that a lot of this is done by the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And that's what this amendment does. It just says that all water rules must be submitted to the Legislative Coordinating Commission prior to filing the notice of intent to adopt, with an explanation and a statement from the affected agencies.
Senator Peterson, have you had discussion with the agency? I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
There's been a lot of discussion. I'm sure if you want to invite them up to testify.
Yeah, he's coming up.
Yep. Okay.
He knows his way. Mr. Kudelka, welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Looking over the amendment, in our previous testimony there, we've noted that this process already is in statute that allows for the Legislative Coordinating Commission to look at our rules and have a process to go through that. Putting it again in the statute another way in a different task, we believe it'd just be easier if they use the current system in law already to accomplish any or to address any concerns they may have with rulemakings as they move forward. I know the idea here is to try to make sure the rules fit the current system of water regulations. I believe the valuation is being funded through in the spreadsheet. I assume it will be in the bill also, and that will be an opportunity for us to review state water policy and those meshing of various agencies and local jurisdictions and how they administer water rules, and that would probably be the better form for discussion.
Senator Peterson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I disagree. What this amendment is doing, it's adding the word must. Rules must be submitted to the Legislative Coordinating Commission because, you know, clearly they haven't been in the past on various occasions. And what this will do, this will allow the legislative authority just to make sure, the legislator make sure that they're going to get the legislative intent out of these water rules by asking these agencies that they have to be reviewed. The purpose of this amendment and this bill is to streamline any duplication in these water making rules. And if our existing Legislative Coordinating Commission is going to handle that, they'll help make sure that gets done. So,
excuse me, Senator Peterson, this is a 2-year pilot project. Is that right?
Currently, I'd have to check the date on the original bill. I don't have that with me. It's until June 30th, 2013. Yes.
Mr. Kudelka, any further comments?
I'm curious to notice, too, if there's been discussions with the Legislative Coordinating Commission to see if they will be able to handle the number of rules that they have to review, if that will have any additional effect on their staff or duties.
Mr. Knopf has some comments.
Well, Chair, I think the key here is whether or not they have to review. The way this is written, if you look at 1.16 to 1.20, it says within 60 days of receipt, the commission may notify the agency proposing the rule that the commission agrees that the rule does not comply with legislative policy, the rules are not consistent with all other water-related rules, or the agency is not the appropriate authority for jurisdiction or the proposals. It doesn't require that they do anything. That it allows them, you're required to submit them, but they are not required to do anything with them. It really would be up to the commission as to whether they want to weigh in on this.
Mr. Meyer, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much. Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. In agreement with everything Mr. Kudelka said, and I just want to add a few things really quickly. It looks like the language on lines 1.7 is the intent of this section is to ensure that all proposed rules satisfy this legislative policy of being consistent with other local, state, and federal rules and able to achieve the legislatively intended outcome as effectively and efficiently as possible. There's language in Chapter 14 that currently requires the SONAR, and I can't remember the exact section of that chapter, to address these issues and several others as well. So when we're preparing the SONAR, there's a list of questions that we must answer. And some of them are talking about how it relates to other bills and policies that are there. And, of course, the rule has to be meeting the mandate of the legislative authority that is absolutely given to it. So those are just a couple things that looking at the bill, what we have here. Previous sections of this issue, as we've talked about, had a lot of other exemptions, emergency, expedited, things of that nature. One of the concerns that the department and other agencies had, as we talked about this in the past, is we can't predict the issues that are going to come up within the next 2 years related to water quality or water resource protection. We didn't know today that we'd be sitting with 19 lakes with zebra mussels 2 years ago. Things of that nature we can't predict. So by saying that now there's, granted, if it was an emergency, the commission, I suppose, could say, yeah, we did a quick review, here you go, you're okay. I think we need to make sure the LCC is able to do that on those types of issues. So as much as I would like to support something and work with the stakeholders on this, the department at this time cannot support this piece of legislation.
Can I offer you any clarification?
Well, Mr. Chair, the only clarification is that when Mr. Meyer was mentioning that these, they have to do similar things already in the SONAR, the SONAR isn't required to be submitted to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. This would require you to actually submit it.
Any further comments?
Thank you.
Senator Peterson renews his motion, the GK011 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, I think there is a provision in the LCCMR that was passed over last time. It's in your spreadsheet, but there was a difference in language, and it was not not adopted. It's in the it deals with the Coon Rapids Dam, Mr. Chair, and you will find that. Well, actually, it's on the amendment. Find that on page R84, and that if you remember the distinction, the Senate just appropriated the money for the study to DNR, and the House appropriated to DNR for a grant to the Three Rivers Park District, who owns and operates the dam at this point in time. And so there was a difference. There's also an amendment out that was suggested language, an A1 SCH 1010A-1 amendment. But at some point, you need to resolve which side or which we're taking Senator House language on this.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hackmarth.
I would move the House position on the Coon Rapids Dam.
Any discussion? Members? You all know where we're at? What? That's on page R84. Senator Peterson?
Mr. Chair, is that our amendment, the A1 amendment, or not?
Mr. Knopf.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, at this point in time, if you wanted to amend Representative Hackbar's motion, you can move the 1010 A1 amendment to that motion.
Did you have anybody plan to do that?
I'm sorry?
Has anybody, move that motion unless somebody else was going to.
Senator Peterson moves the SCH 1010A-1 amendment. Does everybody understand that amendment? I think you have it.
I have the amendment, Mr. Chairman, and if you'd give me a moment, I would explain that this language is also in a House bill that is for emergency flood relief and also appropriating $17 million in that bill in the House. This is identical language. I do not support that language in that House bill, and I do not support this language in this bill. What this amendment does is start the process for the state of Minnesota to own this dam. And I don't believe that that's a burden that the state of Minnesota should take on at this time, so I would speak against the amendment and encourage people to vote no on the amendment, and then encourage people to vote for the House position on the Coon Rapids dam.
To the amendment, Peterson's amendment to Representative Hackbarth's amendment. Any further discussion? Understand? I understand we're going to do I'd request a roll call on this particular part of the amendment.
Sure.
That's with regards to the policy we're talking about, Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman, just to make it clear, what you're going to ask the roll call on is just the A1 amendment at this time.
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. A1 amendment. I would encourage you to.
Very clear. Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, can you explain with this language why it's assumed that it's going to be state-owned? Where in it? I mean, this is all new to me, so.
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rosen. We've seen similar language to this before. What Three Rivers Parks District, their ultimate goal is to either turn this dam over to the state of Minnesota, convey it to them without any cost. This language says, you know, that maybe there should be some co-ownership talk about in the future of somebody else owning it. But if you enter into any kind of a joint powers agreement, that means that they're going to work together and both be responsible for the upkeep, et cetera. And I do not believe that we should be doing this at this time. We can do this. We do this all the time where we appropriate money to the DNR. They oversee the grant. They give the grant out to Three Rivers Park District or some other entity. They oversee what's going on with it, and the money goes to them as a grant. But they have oversight of what's going on, and that's going to take place anyway. We don't need this to do that. And when we talk about things like having the Attorney General look at this for future ownership, that starts us down the road of owning the dam in the future, and I don't want to go there, and it's a huge burden for repairs, et cetera, for the state of Minnesota on this dam, and I just don't believe we need that burden to the state of Minnesota, especially in these tough economic times.
Senator Peterson, to the A1 amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, was this one of the dams? We'd heard a bill in committee about being a barrier for the Asian carp.
Senator Peterson, that's correct. It is. A lot of work has gone on this session with regards to the invasive species talk, and this is exactly what we're talking about. I think Representative Hackbarth, well, we all understand that, and so that's the one. Senator Peterson.
So the question I have for Representative Hackbarth is that your intent is to have the Three Rivers Park District be in charge of keeping the Asian carp south of Coon Rapids?
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was not something that was brought forward by the state of Minnesota or the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. This is something that Three Rivers Park District asked for. They're the ones that are using the issue of stopping Asian carp at this particular location to get this done, to get the $17 million in bonding money to fix it up and to create this fish barrier and to make the repairs to this dam and for them to turn it over to the state of Minnesota. And if that's what they want to do and that's why they're asking for the money, then they need to be responsible for it.
Senator Peterson.
So, Mr. Representative Hackbarth, where do you think the better barrier to the carp for the carp would be south of Coon Rapids? Is there another option there?
Mr. Chairman? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Peterson, yes, there are other options. Lock and dams down in city of Minneapolis, there are places to do this, but I don't think this has been discussed. This has not had a full discussion within our committee in the House, in the Environment Committee. The bonding bill was pulled out of the Environment Committee and sent to the bonding committee, the Capital Investment Committee, without any discussion in the Environment Committee. I think we need to have more discussion on Asian carp before we do this kind of thing. Senator Peterson, I'm not saying that we should stop the funding. I'm not saying we should stop the bonding process. But I don't believe the state of Minnesota should own this dam. It's a dinosaur that we don't need around our neck.
Representative McNamara.
Well,
through the A1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And where I do support Representative Hackbart's original motion, I do not support the A1 being adopted to it. We are not funding the $17 million. That's being funded in an effort in a potential capital investment bill, and that's a discussion at that time as far as the ownership. And I think Representative Hackbart's right on. For us to fund $442,000 for the design of it and then say we're going to say who's going to own it, if the capital investment bill potentially doesn't pass, now we have the DNR with another obligation to own a dam potentially, with it not being funded to take care of. And there's been a lot of discussion over the years in the obligations for dam ownership. And this has been taken on by originally the Hennepin County Parks that now has become Three Rivers. And if we're going to make the DNR potentially own the dam, is Three Rivers get to keep all the property that they got for free? And they give the ownership of the dam to the DNR? Part of the deal when they got the dam from the XL was they got the land and the dam. So I think it's a little premature to say, well, yeah, we want the land, but they can have the dam in the middle. These dams are very expensive, controversial, and, I mean, it's a good idea. I support the Asian carp, and I think it's important that we move that forward. But for us to get in the middle of the ownership and be picking sides when we're not funding the $17 million is premature. And it's a bigger discussion than just the $17
million. Mr. Chair, could I ask Representative for the DNR question?
Mr. Shad. I didn't realize you supported flying carp. You said you supported.
Oh, I don't like flying carp at all. They're dangerous.
Mr. Shad, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chad, what would happen... what would be your options if the Three Rivers Parks District, for example, decides it's cheaper to take this dam out instead of use it as a barrier for Asian carp?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peterson, we view Coon Rapids Dam as right now the one option for a barrier that as a state we have some control over. There are dams further downstream that would work as a barrier, as Representative Hackbarth mentioned, but the Corps of Engineers operates and owns those dams. We've been trying to work with that agency for a number of years and haven't had much success, and so we do believe that Coon Rapids is the one place that we can put the stake in the ground and hopefully kind of a last resort measure, keep movement of carp up through the upper Mississippi watershed.
Thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would just urge members to support this. I don't think it's fair to ask a county or a park district to take responsibility for stopping an invasive species like Asian carp. You know, that is something where I think our residents expect the DNR to be involved and be very active in that solution. And I see this dam, as Mr. Scheid testified, as the only option, unfortunately.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. And I guess my comments are that I know Senator Cruz has worked a lot on this and very hard this session and trying to get some kind of a resolve here. I personally don't think, when I look at the amendment here, that this is going to deem the DNR taking ownership of this. It's simply a directive putting the two different entities together to try and work something out, and I'm not sure yet where I stand, other than the fact that I think it's certainly not going to hurt anything for the two of them to come together and share their differences, whatever. But Representative Hackbarth, you and I both know that if it ever comes a time for ownership of the DNR, that's going to be a huge issue, and I think that might be for a different day. So I do support the A1 amendment and would ask members to do that. So any further discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we're going to need a roll call on this one, too.
Yeah, there's a roll call on this one. Any further discussion? Hearing none, take the roll, please.
Senator Peterson.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Rosen.
Yes.
Senator Gerlach.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Torkelson.
No.
Representative Hackbarth.
No.
Representative Dill. Representative Hoppe. Yes.
The amendment fails. To the Representative Hackbarth's original amendment.
Motion.
To accept the House language on page R84. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Mr. Chairman, got a little technical issue on a Senate provision. It's on page R65. It begins on page R64. The St. Croix Basin Conservation Planning and Protection, the Senate provided $120,000 for the project. The original recommendation of the LCCMR was $200,000, but if you look on 64.21, we still require a $200,000 match, and it was thought that maybe should be to match the same level as the state contribution, would be just to delete on 64.21, delete 200,000 and insert 120,000. So the match that they have to obtain is the same as the state's putting into it, not more than the state's putting into it.
Do that technical change?
So moved.
Senator Rosen moves that technical change on page R64, 65. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, we got a couple of other things. There was also on page R, on page R123, we've got, you did adopt in the spreadsheet money for the water-related programs, policies, and permits evaluation. There's the language that has not been adopted yet in section 61 for Senator Peterson. The only thing I want to mention with that is there's been some issue. The rider for the appropriation for this evaluation doesn't quite match anymore. This was new language that was added late, and the rider needs to be adjusted to reflect the newer language. But that's more of a technical that staff can take care of. I just want to mention that when you're going through this. But section 61 needs to be adopted to be included in the conference report. Again, the spreadsheet had money for this.
Senator Peterson moves the adoption of section 61 on page R123. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, the only other thing that I have to bring up is section 53 on page R120, the Coon Rapids Dam Commission. I don't know if anybody wanted to still move that or not.
Everybody understand that?
I was just bringing it up as something left on the table. Mr. Chairman, the little spreadsheet you had before showed this as an open thing that had not been moved yet, and I just wanted to bring up that hadn't been moved. So that has not been moved.
That should be done to the move.
Oh.
Anything further?
Mr. Chair, I don't have anything. I don't know if Janelle.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I've had, we originally adopted on R119, the Mississippi River Corridor Critical Area, a Senate position. And it was my understanding there really was
no practical difference between what we adopted and the current situation where that rulemaking authority has lapsed. And I'm wondering if someone from the DNR could come up and speak questions, because now when I review the Senate position, I'd like to get more clarification on that language that we adopt when we adopted this, on this stricken language.
Somebody from the DNR, Senator Peterson, is this something you worked on?
I'm sorry, which section was it?
Member, excuse, Mr. Chair, and members, it's on the spreadsheet. It was a it was a Senate-only section, 49, page R-119. It's on the top of the page. It's about half the page, and it dealt with the Mississippi River critical corridor area. For members, if they'll remember, was a bill that passed a couple of years ago. It allowed 18 months for rulemaking. It was a bill that evidently was destined to failure. It was not possible to get all the work done within the 18 months. I think approximately $350,000 of the $500,000 of clean water money that was allocated to do the rulemaking has been spent. And it was my understanding that adopting of this provision really had no practical implication, other than it would have made sure that probably somebody didn't try to say, well, there was some other rulemaking authority out there that would have allowed maybe somebody to sue the DNR and succeed in a potential lawsuit to make the rulemaking get kicked back in and start again. And now, after looking at it and I'm reading it, I'm wondering if there is some, I'm not so concerned if it's a perceived difference, but is there any real difference here? Is there any, by striking this language, does it do anything to Governor Cui's order? Is there any possibility that somebody could interpret it to do something different than Governor Cui's executive order? Because I do believe Governor Cui's executive order should stay in place until this body and both bodies and Governor Dayton decide on how to proceed.
Representative McNamara, to that longest question of the night, I'll have Mr. Knopf first comment, and then Mr. Meyer. Is that okay?
I hope the answer is a lot shorter.
Mr. Chair, I just want to explain the Senate provision briefly. First of all, what this does is, in Section 49, it puts back this section the way it read prior to 2009. There were some provisions that were removed in 2009, but they were old language. They were obsolete. And but this basically puts it back into what the operative language was. The part you see stricken there is actually part of the Cui order. What you see stricken was added in 2009, but it's verbatim from the Cui order for the critical area. So it. The direction by Senator Cruz on this was to put this back the way it was in 2009. And the repealers and this language puts it back the way it was prior to the 2009 changes.
Representative McNamara.
Well, if I could just clarify, and then it would be good for Mr. Meyer. So, Mr. Knopf, if I understand, none of Governor Cui's order is stricken in the legislation that we adopt, is his entire order stays intact?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, yes.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, may I just ask one question of Mr. Knopf as well? Has the Conference Committee adopted Section 57, R-121, and the top of R-122 dealing with the other piece of that bill from 2009?
Mr. Chair, it has.
Okay, and I just wanted to make sure I had two different notations on my.
True that, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Knopf is correct that the 2009 language that did bring this issue back on the table inserted this language. The intent of that bill was to codify in statute that executive order from Governor Cui. So now what we're doing by striking this is removing that intent to codify that language from the executive order into statute, which was the direction we were trying to go. So I know the stakeholders and others and the DNR does believe this has an impact by changing that executive order, taking it out of statute. It is one concern that we have. The other concern is that this is an important issue that we do need to address, but not today, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Meyer, I think you are clarifying it for me that our problem would be here, but I believe Governor Dayton could change it anyway. It's an executive order, if I'm not mistaken, from the shores of Lake Pokegama. He could end this if he wanted to. So I'm not sure. My understanding was that it would just be the governor's executive order, and you're saying, but we had codified in 09 in law some of that order. But I believe that I feel more comfortable now in what we did, and Mr. Meyer is saying this basically would be duplicative, Mr. Knopf, if I'm right, too, that this would just codify in law what is in place with the executive order. The reality, Mr. Meyer, we got to move on this. I've been asking since January, where's the governor on this issue? I've been about the only one that wants to finish this rulemaking, and my understanding is then that we are still back where we were at the beginning, that we have a 1980s sometime. I was planting trees when Governor Quay was governor, so I don't know when he was governor, but when he did this, and we still haven't changed it, and we need to find this governor to get going with it and push this legislature to find a way to do it in a common sense way that gets it done. So I think, Mr. Meyer, if I've got it right, these words are in the executive order, so it's just a matter of whether we want an executive order or statute, but either way, the river is protected with the same language.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I need to check on the status of that executive order, if it has been reauthorized or not. I'm not quite sure if that has been or not. If it hasn't been, then we do lose these attributes that the purpose of this designation is to achieve. And you are correct that the Governor Dayton can reauthorize that executive order, or I need to look into that. But the one thing I do need to put on the record, Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, is that the governor and the department is very interested and serious about reauthorizing and working on this critical area rule. And it'll be something we'll be talking about as the days come.
Mr. Meyer has comments. I'm sorry, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Meyer's talking about the general rule for governor's executive orders, that when the governor issues an executive order, what is it, 60 days after, that governor has to reauthorize, otherwise they expire. This is a specific authorization to the governor, and it's my understanding, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think that any governor has had to reauthorize this one. This is a specific authorization in statute. It doesn't relate to the general authorization for governor's orders. So I don't think that the governor needs to authorize this again. I don't think each governor has to reauthorize it.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Knopf very clearly stated what my concerns are. I'm just not sure as to the status of this right now. So we'll get back to you on that shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Members?
Basically, you wanted to approve it to post. You're going to approve the hosting of this as a conference
committee. Okay.
Members, before we move on the total bill, any further discussion from the members? Representative Hackmark. McNamara. I guess the last one I scan when I look over at you.
No, I lost what I was going to do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the conference committee report and to get it posted. It'll be an unsigned report. The administration has asked for an opportunity to review the posted report, I believe for a period of 48 hours or something like that. I understand Governor Dayton is committed to shortening up his time up north, and will actually be, I think, coming back potentially before lunchtime or on his way back by lunchtime tomorrow. So I think it would be good if we could get this before him and enough time for him to look at it and find out what his input is on the bill.
Chairman, along with that authorization, will you authorize staff to fix any problems or whatever technical issues in the bill?
Mr. Knopf and Ms. Taylor and all the rest of the staff that get to go back and work hard while we get to go move on, yes, that would be part of that recommendation.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as the only female on this conference committee, it's been a pleasure serving with you guys. Done a good job with this bill. I don't really know exactly all the workings on the environment part, but I think we put a really good bill together. I love the energy piece. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the House and what they've done.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank all the members as well. And putting it together with the three different divisions over in the Senate and mirroring it up with the House certainly is challenging, and we couldn't do it without our staff. So we certainly appreciate all the staff and all the effort that they put in, everybody else in the room that put in a lot of time and effort as well. So, Representative McNamara's motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Both same sign. No. Thank you very much. That concludes the meeting.